I'm Sarah Marsh. I am 41 years old. I am married and I have three kids. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I worked in employee benefits consulting for 10 years after college. And like I said, now I stay home with my kids. I've been a volunteer with NAMI for a little over a year now, and I'm a presenter for their Ending the Silence program. So we go into schools and give a presentation about mental health and mental illness. I've been doing that, like I said, for a little over a year. What makes me passionate about being able to talk openly about mental illness is when I first started showing symptoms, when my battle really started was 1996, and it was something that was off limits. People did not talk about it. So most of my friends didn't know what was going on in the school. You know, everybody knew there was something wrong, but nobody could talk about it. So to go into a school now and talk openly about it is really cathartic for me. I was a junior in high school and I was, you know, just a normal kid. I had good grades. I had friends. I was really involved in the arts. So I played in the orchestra, sang in the choir. I was in a lot of plays, just active and just, you know, a regular kid. My parents were still married. You know, I had a normal life. And I started to just get really sad all of the time. I would cry all of the time for no reason. I couldn't get out of bed. Like, I physically could not drag my body out of bed. I didn't want to talk to anyone or see anyone or be with anyone. I really withdrew. I started having panic attacks. So I was afraid to go to school because I never knew when that would happen. I wasn't able to go to school a lot of the time. I was just, my brain just wasn't working correctly and I couldn't focus on my schoolwork. I couldn't maintain relationships. I couldn't do anything. I am really lucky that my parents had some understanding of mental health and mental illness. My mom, is retired now, but she was a ninth grade science teacher and she had a student commit suicide in her classroom in front of everybody while she was teaching. This was probably 10 years prior to me being diagnosed with mental illness. So this was already something that was on my parents' radar. They had dealt with this. My mom had been in counseling for a long time dealing with the aftermath of this. So they were really sensitive to being on the lookout for signs of mental illness, my mom and her students, but then in us too. So I was able to go to my parents and they were really helpful and took drastic measures to help me get well. It was kind of a gradual process. It probably took a couple of months to really settle into the fact that this was how I was, if that makes sense, that I changed completely from the person that I was into a different person. And, you know, I was very pragmatic. So for me, when I went to therapy and was actually diagnosed by a mental health professional was probably the first time I really believed that there was a problem. Well, I knew there was a problem, but I was able to put a label on it. And that was very helpful for me because my parents really treated it as it should be treated as any other illness. It's a medical condition, but that really wasn't the way it was seen back then. The fact that we go into schools and talk openly about it and schools want us to come in and talk about it is incredible change. Like I said, it wasn't something that was talked about. I made up all kinds of secrets and I mean, all kinds of lies, why I wasn't in school, you know, scars from self-harm. I had to explain those away and we just couldn't talk about it. And the fact that we're able to do that, you know, if somebody had come into my school and talked to me about mental illness, it could have drastically altered the course of my life. And, you know, that wasn't possible back then, but that's why I'm so passionate about doing it now is I think we're really able to make a difference. You know, I know we don't live in a perfect world, and not everybody has parents that are going to be supportive. You know, I would say if you think your parents are supportive, start there. But there are a lot of resources that you can use within your school. The counselors at school, it's literally their job to do stuff like this, and they can facilitate that conversation with your parents. If you're afraid to have that conversation, they can talk to your parents for you. They can sit down and be, you know, kind of that third party where you all sit down and talk together. You know, a school nurse is another resource, teachers, coaches, any adult that you really trust, could be a friend's parents even. But I think everyone, you know, students need to realize that even though they feel alone, that they do have people that they can trust that will help guide them towards getting help. You know, for me, it was a long process. It was a lot of things. I won't say it was a lot of people because I didn't have a lot of support because of the times, you know, that this happened to me in. But a lot of things made a difference for me. I've been hospitalized 3 different times, and that was very helpful because I didn't know anyone that felt the same way that I did. So to meet other people that were dealing with mental illness was, you know, it gave me kind of that camaraderie that I didn't have with anyone else. So that was really helpful. Medication was really critical for me. I said earlier, I had a normal life. I didn't have any kind of trauma happen to me. Mine was really just a chemical imbalance. You know, some mental illness can be brought on by trauma or abuse. Mine was really just chemical. So when I found the right medications for me, it was like a light went on and I was able to be myself again. Some people think psychiatric medication is going to make them feel like a zombie and they won't feel anything. But my experience was really the opposite. My mental illness made me feel like a zombie and I couldn't feel anything but, you know, sadness, despair. And the medication helped balance things out for me. That was really critical. And just lots and lots of therapy. My parents let me drop out of high school my senior year after my suicide attempt, which took place at school. It was just too hard for me to go back, and they let me drop out, and I really just focused that year on recovery and getting better. I did a lot of therapy, tried a lot of different medications, and then I was able to go on to college the next fall, and I did graduate from college after that. I wish I had understood that it really is a medical condition and that it wasn't anything I had done wrong and it wasn't a character flaw. You know, my parents really believed this and they instilled it in me, but it was still really hard to accept at the time. I think, you know, viewing it as a medical condition is really important. It takes that shame and that stigma away. I would say, first of all, I'm sorry that you're going through that. I know what it's like, and it can be really awful. I would say I hope you're getting help. Please get help. This is something that, you know, like I said, it's a medical condition, so it requires treatment. It's no different than if you had diabetes. You would need to take insulin, and you would not get better without the insulin. I have asthma. If I don't take my asthma medications, I can't breathe. The same thing with mental illness. You have to treat it like a medical condition, and that requires treatment. So therapy, for some people, medication. Not everybody needs medication. You know, some people need hospitalization. Some people need more drastic measures. But it is a medical condition that has to be treated, and it's not going to go away on its own. And just that recovery is possible. You know, I live a normal life. You know, I almost died when I was in high school when I attempted suicide. And my parents didn't know. We didn't know if I would ever be able to live independently, if I would have to live with my parents the rest of my life. You know, we didn't know if I would even survive. I was in the ICU after my suicide attempt. And, you know, I'm just a regular
adult now. I'm married. I have 3 kids. I play on a tennis team. I like to read. You know, I'm just a normal adult, and nobody has a perfect life, but I have a pretty happy life. You know, nobody's life is perfect, but I would say mine is mostly happy.
So my suicide attempt happened in October of my senior year of high school. And by that point, I had already been in therapy and taking some medication. And, you know, we knew there was a problem. I didn't look the same. I had lost a significant amount of weight, and I just looked very sick. And I became just really desperate and hopeless. I felt sad all the time, and I believed 100% that I would never feel anything but sadness ever again. So I'm a Christian, and I had to grapple with, you know, heaven and hell. And for me, I thought hell can't be any worse than what I was living in, and at least it would be different. So I made the decision to end my life, and I did it at school. And a teacher found me, and I don't remember a lot from that day. A lot of it's really fuzzy in my memory, but I do remember it was during lunchtime, and in my school, to go out the front door of the school, you had to go through the cafeteria. And the cafeteria was full, of course. And I remember being wheeled in a wheelchair through the cafeteria to meet the ambulance out front. And everyone was looking at me. Everyone, you know, knew that something had happened. And I think probably a lot of people thought, wow, did she fall and hit her head, or does she have a heart problem or something? You know, some people probably did suspect that it was a suicide attempt, or that it was related to my mental illness in some way. And then I don't really remember anything after that. I know that I was in the ICU for some time, and then transferred to a mental facility after that, where I was there for a couple of weeks. But that was, there's parts of the day that I remember like it was yesterday, and then parts that I've completely blocked out. And someday I'd like to talk to my parents about it and fill in the holes, but it's still, I don't want them to have to relive that day. I know it was a really hard day for them, obviously. But at some point I'd like to have that conversation when I feel like it's time.